Can you open your Bibles again with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6, section on prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and verse 11 of Matthew 6. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Well, this is part of the Bible we know well as Christians because we've learned it by heart, probably. And we probably pray it often. And it's easy to be over-familiar with passages like this. And the first thing we notice in verse 11 is that there are two references in this short petition to the day. It says, give us today our daily bread. Now, not all things in the Christian rhythm of life are daily. There are some things that are weekly, like the Lord's Day. But what I'm interested tonight in is, what does God assume in his word that we as Christians will do every day? When we become Christians, what is assumed in the Bible about our daily practice? It's just a study I did myself recently, and I thought interesting to share with you. In some ways, what I discovered was surprising. But what do you do every day that you do because you seek to follow Jesus, that you didn't do before you tried to follow Jesus? Or at least not in the same way. What do you do because you seek to follow Jesus every day? In the Old Testament, every day, there were sacrifices at the temple. There was prayer at the temple, there was worship at the temple. But most of the Israelites weren't present at any of these things most of the time. But for them out in their villages and towns, it was a comfort to know that in the temple, in the capital, in God's holy place, that worship, that intercession was taking place every day, almost by proxy, that they could say, this has been done for us. This has been done for our nation. As Christians, we don't have that kind of sense of other people taking responsibility for our relationship with God, except insofar as Christ takes that responsibility. So the equivalent for us as Christians, knowing there's no temple, there's no holy place, there's no house of God in the world anymore, made with bricks or stone. The equivalent for us is Christ's intercession in heaven. Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So this is ongoing, this is daily. Jesus praying on our behalf. And that's wonderful to know. His faithful daily ministration before the Father, representing us, presenting his sacrifice, which he made at Calvary for us, and successfully advocating that the Father receive us and keep us as his children, now, day by day, and forever. So we can assume that is happening. And it's a wonderful thing to think about, but that's not what I'm going to focus on tonight. It's what should Jesus be able to assume about you and me as Christians that we'll do every day. So let's go through a few things. This is not a sermon or a message that's going to take us too deeply into anything, but it's just going to go through a few things that Jesus assumes we will do every day as Christians. And the first one is, verse 11, that we will pray for our daily needs. Jesus assumes that because this, verse 11, is about a daily prayer. Give us today. So obviously it's meant to be prayed every day. Give us today our daily bread. So that's not a prayer for every second Thursday. It's a prayer for every day. Give us today our daily bread. And that can only be meaningful if it's something that we pray every day. It's interesting that the word that's translated daily here, it occurs here, it occurs in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, and it occurs nowhere else in the entire Greek language world of that time. It's unique to the Lord's Prayer. And so it's quite difficult even to kind of grasp exactly what it means, and the translators reckon it means something like, give us today the bread of the day for the day to come. So it's a prayer for those starting out on the day who can't be sure that they're going to eat that day. They're praying that they will. The labourer of Jesus' day, which most people that Jesus addressed in the Sermon on the Mount, earned a denarius for his day's work. He needed an employer to provide him with that employment and that denarius. And the denarius wasn't a fortune. The denarius was a subsistence wage. It was enough to keep you and your family going for another day. So you couldn't save. It wasn't like the opportunity to buy bread and we'll buy some gâteau at the same time. And we'll buy some nice things for the house. It was like, I work, I get my denarius, I go and buy the food I need for the day, and I've got nothing left. That was the living that many people had in Jesus' day. So the prayer that we've got here is very relevant to the peasant Christians who constituted the majority of Jesus' hearers on most occasions as Jesus and his disciples travelled around. It's often asked, though, is this prayer relevant for us today? Like, we don't earn subsistent wages generally in this country. Most of us can put away money from our wages to buy other things than food and to save a little, perhaps, so that if we don't get paid one week, we can just dig into our savings. And not everyone can do that, but most people can today. So is there any relevance in this prayer today? Give us today our daily bread. Well, judge for yourself this. Is your daily bread absolutely guaranteed? And if you're absolutely honest about that, you say, well, it isn't really, is it? It isn't really. On my way home from church this morning, I just happened to have fallen behind an Asda delivery van and followed the delivery van till it turned into one of my neighbour's houses. And I thought, well, isn't that a very convenient way of answering the prayer, give us today our daily bread? But there's nothing guaranteed about that. With a pair of pliers applied in the right place, I could bring the whole food infrastructure of this country down. Because it all depends on the internet. It completely depends on those little fibres that are running all around our country, carrying the information of the internet. is so vulnerable. And just at certain nodes, with a bit of snipping, you could cause devastation to the infrastructure. And the daily bread wouldn't be in the co-op. And the Asdaban wouldn't know where to go. Because you can't order on the internet if someone's cut the fibre optic with a pair of pliers. Well, that may be a bit trite to speak like that, but we just don't know what a day holds. Judge for yourself as well whether the supply of your basic daily necessities is ultimately from God or not. Is it from God or is it from the co-op? Or is it both? And it's both. But if it's from God, but it's not guaranteed, you and I have a good reason to pray like a subsistence peasant in Jesus' day. We must still have that sense of dependence on God for the basics of life. We're not praying here for luxuries, we're praying for necessities. And it's assumed that we'll do that by Jesus. Because, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Don't boast about your daily bread. Even if you made it yourself in your bread maker, or bought it in the co-op, you received it from God still. And Jesus assumes that we'll pray for that daily dependence on God to go on and to be answered by God, whether it's through the co-op or not. So it's assumed by Jesus that you and I will pray daily for our necessities. Proverbs 30 verse 8, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. We need that. We're not asking God for riches or for poverty. Why we might ask for that, I don't know, but we're not asking for either of these things. We're simply asking, God, help me to have what I need to live each day. Remember as well that your living faith may be the answer to someone else's prayer, daily prayer for daily bread. James writes this, he says, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. So we're expected to be part of the answer to the needs of the people around us as well. So anyway, very simple. It is assumed by Jesus that we'll pray. That's verse 5, when you pray. Verse 9, this is how you should pray. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Every day is assumed by the Lord. We're going to be asking for him to provide our necessities, our daily necessities. Now, let me move on to some other things that Jesus assumes we'll pray daily. Or that Jesus assumes we'll do daily, rather. Now, the Bible's a big book. It's a big book. And you might think it would be full of directions about things we should be doing every day. And that's kind of what I assumed. And I was surprised as I looked through every time the word daily occurs in the Bible. And I looked at different versions because sometimes translations do translate things differently. The word daily doesn't really turn up all that much. And there's only actually three things I could really find which are assumed that we'll do every day in the whole Bible. That surprised me. The first one is this, that we will seek wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 34 and 35. Blessed are those who listen to me. This is wisdom speaking. Wisdom is personified in Proverbs 8 and speaks and says, blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, for those who find me find life and receive favour from the Lord. So, it's assumed that you and I will seek wisdom every day. I hope we do, because the alternative is just to drift along thoughtlessly, or worse, to seek folly. But what does that mean for us as Christians? Well, probably the most obvious thing is it means that we're going to read and we're going to reflect on God's word, and we're going to do that every day. Now, that's a challenge to many people. I know that it's not easy for some people. Even the reading of the Bible can be a challenge for some people. And certainly reflecting on it in a meaningful way can be a challenge. It's maybe easy enough just to read a chapter without getting anything from it. But to read it so that it makes a difference to your life, and so that it changes your thinking and you found some wisdom from it each day, that's our challenge. We want to actually get wisdom from the Bible. Now, if you find that difficult, then there are lots of things that we can help you with. If you want help to do this, there are lots of ways to engage with the Bible that you will find helpful. Maybe to do it with others, maybe to do it in some of the online study groups that are on the go in the area, maybe to find some study booklets that will help you to work alongside the Bible and read through it. Whatever, there's lots that can be done. But the bottom line is, we don't really have an excuse for this. We should seek wisdom every day at the lips of God, from the mouth of God. The second thing is, we should encourage other Christians every day. Hebrews chapter 3 has a powerful passage about this and about what we need to do today so that we'll still be on the road of faith tomorrow. Let me read it. Hebrews 3. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily. There it is. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So we've only come to share in Christ, says the writer, if we keep going to the end. And how are we going to keep going to the end? He says, well, daily you've got to encourage one another. I've got to encourage you, and you've got to encourage me, and you've got to encourage one another daily. So we're called to watch for one another's souls. We must persevere to the end, and the way we assure ourselves of doing that is in fellowship. To encourage one another, we've got to be getting together with one another. And we've got to be speaking to one another. We've got to take opportunities when we're with other Christians to encourage one another. I know from my experience of ministering in the area that many people find it difficult to talk about the personal things of their faith and find it difficult to be vulnerable so that other people can minister to them, or indeed to minister to others who are being vulnerable. We find it difficult if someone's been vulnerable with us. But we have to be vulnerable, and we have to allow other people to encourage us when we're not encouraged. We have to tell other people if we're not encouraged so that we can receive their encouragement and vice versa, minister to them. It's a responsibility every day, a daily thing that we should be doing. The third thing that stands out in the Bible is that we must take up our cross daily. We must deny ourselves daily. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. Luke's version of this says, Luke 9:23, take up their cross daily and follow me. When we become Christians, the life that we would choose is over. It's not just over when we choose it someday. It's not just like some days we'll follow Jesus. It's like every day. We'll not follow our own desires, our lusts, our flesh. our preferences, our easy road, our path of least resistance. We'll follow Jesus. Take up the cross and follow him. We'll deny ourselves. So following my desires into enslaving habits is finished. Following Jesus into life and freedom and fellowship with God has begun. We will daily deny ourselves. We will daily encourage one another. We'll daily seek wisdom. And we'll daily seek the necessities of life. That's about it in the Bible for what you need to do every day. It's a good start. Okay? However, if you're thinking, you'll think, well, if Jesus wants us to pray this prayer every day, or not necessarily verbatim, but certainly the heart of it, then all the other things in the Lord's Prayer we must do every day as well. So let me just finish by just going through that. I'm just going to do this very quickly. First of all, daily, Jesus assumes we'll adore our Father. Our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Adoration. If you're not adoring God, something has gone wrong with your soul. Some cloud has come between you and God. Some bitterness. Some selfishness in your heart. You know, that makes you want to go your way and not to delight in God's way. And you need to find out what it is and get back to adoring him every day. Adoration is assumed by Jesus of God's children every day. Verse 10, we long for all people to be his devoted servants. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not content whenever we see anyone around us who is like the crowd at Jesus' trial. We will not have this man to reign over us. We're not happy to see that in anyone. And so daily it is a concern for us to carry the burden of people who don't yet know Jesus and who continue to refuse to acknowledge him and reject him, and to pray for them. There's a lot more than that, but we're just going to pass over it quickly. Also, we will, verse 12, practice and receive forgiveness. We speak about keeping short accounts, and that's so important as Christians. Probably all of you have known what it is, if you're aware of the workings of your own spirit at all, to hold on to a grudge until it becomes a real problem. And then you have to deal with it in a much more painful way. Every day we need to forgive, and every day we need to receive forgiveness. There's joy in that path. Jesus assumes we'll seek that joy because it's a joy of relationships restored with God and with the people around us. Daily also we will battle against evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The alternative is not to battle against evil. The alternative is to give in to evil. But I think Jesus may well have had in mind when he taught the disciples this, his own experience in the wilderness, his terrible experience for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And it was so terrible that Jesus had impressed deeply upon him that he would never want that upon for anyone, and he would never want his disciples to have to go through that. And he taught us to pray against it. But sometimes we do go through deserts of temptation, grueling periods. And there are lots of examples of that. We sang it a moment ago in Psalm 13 How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? In Job chapter 3, sighing has become my daily food, he says. My groans pour out like water. This is what Paul maybe calls the evil day. There are times in Christians' lives, sometimes when we do go through really difficult periods, and the underlying problem is not biological, it's not circumstantial, it is demonic, it is evil. And Jesus teaches us to pray daily against that experience. So there's a few things the Bible teaches every day we should be doing. Praying for daily necessities, seeking wisdom, all the things of the prayer here, keeping short accounts, adoring God, battling against evil, longing for his kingdom to come, encouraging one another, denying ourselves. So, we hear a lot these days about drought in parts of the world and the devastating effect it has on people's lives because, well, whatever you think about climate change is happening, and many parts of the world where people could assume an annual rainfall for their agriculture so they could grow their crops can no longer assume that. So instead of the rain just falling down from heaven and watering the ground and them being able effortlessly to grow food, they have to resort to hard work to get the water. They have to pump it out of aquifers in the ground. And it's a lot of hard work. What was effortless has become a daily task, a difficult task. These daily concerns that I'm talking about here, these daily things that Jesus assumes we'll do, they can become difficult tasks. If we let go of our intimacy with Jesus, they can become duties and chores and burdens. But actually, if we seek to keep close to Jesus, then just like the rain falling from heaven, there'll be a privilege and a joy. Part of our daily rhythm that just flows in our lives naturally. So God help us then to keep close to Jesus so that things like adoration and forgiveness and encouraging one another, denying ourselves, seeking wisdom, seeking our daily necessities, that these things will just be a natural part of each day as Jesus assumes they will be. Amen.